Welcome everyone, welcome to Review It Yourself. Little disclaimer, if you hear any banging or scraping or anything like that, it's coming from my side. We're moving stuff around the house. So yeah, I mean, apologies, but you're gonna have to live with it because call it podcast authenticity.
Clanging and banging over there.
Well, yeah. I'm joined today by Stephen Randy from the American, why have I put American? No, I don't know why I've written that down. From the Decision Reel podcast. Welcome,
The North Americans over here.
just doing stuff.
Just doing things. Thanks for having us on again, Sean. It's always a pleasure to be on this here show, the Review It Yourself podcast. Anybody who's listening out there, definitely keep listening because this show fucking rules.
Thank you very much. As does yours. Been loving your... How have you not seen it?
So basically, yeah. We do a thing. It started because Randy hasn't seen anything. We started a off series or like bonus episode, if you will, of How Have You Not Seen This, where we take large, giant movies that you somehow have not seen yet and then review them and then talk about why we have not seen them.
Because I'm an uncultured swine.
Yeah, something like that. The latest one we did, I believe, was The Wolf of Wall Street, which, to be fair, I didn't actually see as of yet either. So that was actually a pretty good one. So yeah, go check that out at The Decision Reel on all your socials or wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, great. Neither of you seen that, but I suppose that's the whole point.
Because it was 8 hours long.
Right.
Oh, he's good though, isn't it?
Well, we all, no spoilers for our own episode, but we do get into why we both hadn't seen it. Randy hadn't seen it because just he's Randy. I hadn't seen it because when it came out, I remember there was a bunch of other movies that I wanted to see at the same time. And then it was like, man, it's like 3 hours long. I don't feel like sitting in a theater for that long. And then I went and saw Oppenheimer like 2 weeks ago. So, you know, it doesn't matter. It's all innate.
Yeah, but back in like, what, 2013 when that came out, there wasn't that many films that were that long. It was a rarity rather than nowadays, which is commonplace and getting on people's nerves.
Right.
So yeah. Anywho, today we are reviewing Lethal Weapon 3, the 1992 classic. Great year. And basically, this continues on, shockingly, from our Lethal Weapon and Lethal Weapon 2 reviews. So yeah, thought it was time I watched this one. And obviously, I've never seen it before. This is my first time watching them all. Oh, I loved it because, you know, you get to the third installment of a franchise and you're thinking, yeah, this is going to go downhill at some point. You know, Die Hard doesn't, but that's a rarity. Well, it went downhill after the third one, but we won't go there. Yeah. And I thought, how are we going to do it? Oh, I absolutely love this one. I don't know about you guys. First time you've seen it or is it like a return view?
It was the first time I saw it. And it's like the first two that did. There's something about it that you just want to keep watching it. Like it. Being the third one, like you said, you would think that you wouldn't enjoy it as much as you did the first one or two, but it kept up with both of them.
Yeah, like you'd think it's like overstaying its welcome almost, right? But I feel like it's the dichotomy of Riggs and Murtaugh and just like them, like, I don't know, it's a bromance for sure. Like they love each other, but also like they can't stand each other, but it works, you know what I mean? And then just... when you have two characters that you absolutely love watching on the screen, it doesn't matter what's going on around them. It's always going to be entertaining and you want to be in it. So like this, the villain in this movie kind of sucks. The story kind of sucks. It's not as good as the first two, but it doesn't really matter because you're not there for that. You're there for the fucking bromance.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think just to go over a few of the people who kind of were involved in the making of the film, directed by Richard Donner, of course, of Superman fame. The screenplay by Jeffrey Baum, who did The Last Crusade, The Lost Boys, Lethal Weapon 2 and 3, and Robert Mark Kamen, who's the creator of the Karate Kid franchise, Transporter, Taken. He co-wrote
Gladiator. Like Transporter?
I've not seen them, but I'm not a big fan of him. He co-wrote Gladiator, The Fifth Element, Angel Has Fallen. A bit ropey at the end there. Cinematography by Jan de Bont, of course, who directed Speed and Speed 2, I believe. So, you know, take for that what you will. Music, again, by Michael Kamen, who also did Die Hard, Die Hard 2, Die Hard with Vengeance, Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves. He honestly, his like filmography for music is ridiculous. And this was the most successful film of 1992. Behind only Batman Returns, and it was like the highest grossing of the franchise, and cost a paltry. I mean, it's no small sum. You wouldn't turn your nose up at it, but $35 million. Like, that's all it costs. I mean, not all, but in terms of movies, like, $35 million is not a lot. But yeah, I thought it was, I loved it, to be fair. I'll be a bit gushy about this one, to be honest.
Oh, he's gushy about it. I like gushy.
Well, straight for the intro, you've got like the fire and it makes the three, and it, there's something about 90s intros. I was on about this the other day, like what happened to like that kind of that skill of making a decent introduction, you know, even just like a title.
Oh yeah, it's gone.
Yeah, now it's just a movie with some words over top of it telling you who's in it. That's it.
Yeah, if they have one at all.
Yeah,
starring Dwayne The Rock Johnson in a jungle.
Oh god, I know. Lasse has asked me to do Hercules. Oh Jesus.
Oh,
but watch Deep Blue Sea. He said, oh no, Blue Sea looks trashy. Dude, but I'll watch Hercules.
Dude, Deep Blue Sea, get in it. That movie is pure 90s trash cheese, even though it came out. Well, no shit. It came out in the 90s. It was like late 90s, I think.
99, I think.
99, yeah, or something like that. That movie, if you haven't seen it, go in blind. Don't look at anything. Don't look at any of the memes that are probably going to be about Samuel Jackson. Get in it and stay in it.
Yeah. I quoted that film after a very significant change on one of the social medias. I just wrote, you ate my bird. So we catch up with Riggs and Murtaugh still in homicide. It starts off with a bomb in a building, and Riggs is just like, nah, let's go sort it out.
He's like, cut the blue wire. That's the wrong wire.
He's like, wait, you just said the red wire. No, I said, that's what I said, I think.
So again,
hey Riggs, get that cat. Why? We gotta go.
Run.
Hey, we saved the cat. Oh, yeah, we love cats. The whole, just with how the film was kind of economical, I mean, as economical as you can be with $35 million, at the start, they kind of picked buildings that were going to get knocked down anyway. So they basically said to the owners, look, like, if you're going to blow this down, can we film it? And the same with the ending, which is in a housing estate.
Yeah.
That apparently was like, because of the economy, it was half built, and then whoever was building it ran out of money and went out like bankrupt. So that was just sat there, and they basically went to the city or whoever owned it and were like, look, can we film here? They're like, yeah, you can, as long as you knock everything down as part of the deal.
Oh, don't worry, we got it.
So you get these really big like destruction of buildings and stuff like that, which you're just not going to get now in a film. I mean, The Dark Knight, that's about the last one. But it's Nolan. You're just not going to get it. Gives it an awful lot of production value that I don't think you'd have got otherwise. Like, it makes it a much bigger looking film. I don't know about how did you guys feel about that one?
Well, so I mean, there's something about like movies today. Like, if they made this movie today, everything would be fucking CGI. And it, for the most part, you know, we're getting to that point where it looks good enough, right? Mm-hmm. Or it's, oh shit, that was CGI. But it still leaves a little to the imagination where, when it's really happening, you feel like you're in the movie. You know what I mean? Where when they do CGI, I always feel like it's like, well, we can do whatever we want. So let's fucking do whatever we want. Where this, you're hampered by, okay, we have, I don't know, what was it, like 7 houses that were in that like one cul-de-sac that they were building, that's what they had to deal with. So it was like, okay, well, we're going to burn all those and kind of use it to what we can. Also, they only had like one shot at that then. Right, to do all that.
They only had one shot for both buildings, too.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. So, and there's another thing to be said about blowing up an actual building. It just looks legit. You
and
know
you
got to
make sure you're doing it right, too. Because if you do it and only half that bitch falls down, embarrassing. You fucked up.
Embarrassing.
Yeah. Absolutely. I mean, I was thinking about this, about the fact this, if this film was made now, it'd just be absolute trash. Like, it would just be CGI to the max. But also what they tend to do is, in this film, you get, like with the first two Lethal Weapons, and I hope the fourth one, when I couldn't watch that one, is that they have moments in them where the characterization and the writing is really, really good. Like, in a way that you do not get in action films now. So, like, there's a bit later on where Riggs calls Murtaugh when he accidentally discharges his weapon in, like, the police station. And there's just this look between them of like, yeah, I've got your back, you know, and then he covers with him for the girdle And stuff like that.
Oh,
and it's,
God, that was hilarious.
Yeah.
That's a girl. It's not, it's for my back. All right. I woke up. I tried to lift something heavy at the weights. My back's fucked. I'm getting old. Getting too old for this shit.
Yeah. And you know, just the actors around them as well. And the actresses, you know, you get Lana from Eternal Affairs. She's brilliant. And you know, this is, I'll try to stay out of the politics of it because it's review itself, but this is how you do a strong female character. Don't have her like rip the shit out of the male characters just to try and make her look better. Just have her have a skill set of, yes, she's up against bigger men, you know, bigger, technically stronger. Well, they're going to be stronger, mm-hmm. you know, but she uses kind of kung fu, whatever it is she's using, martial arts to like to turn the tables on them, and she's kick ass about it. And she's clever, and you know, she has a lot of sparring early on with Riggs. Like, it's not like he turns up and she just goes weak at the knees, like but at the same time she acts like a woman, the men act like men. I do enjoy it about these films.
Yeah, two things I want to say after that. The first thing was it just me who thought she was going to be working with the bad guy the entire time? Okay, it was just me.
Yeah.
I don't know why. There was a couple moments where I was like,
No, a little bit. Like when she walked in, when they were doing the bust at first, right before he stole the dog and everything.
Yeah.
I thought she was going to flip the pages and on their side.
That was one scene. And then at the end, when she shows up behind them and they're all like, well, what's the plan? And she's like, yeah, what's the plan? Tell me the plan. They're like, we're just going to make it up or we'll come to us. I felt like, well, she wants to know the plan because. And then, I mean, I like that she's not, you know, because maybe they did that on purpose to set it up to be like, oh, maybe you, why would she be like this badass chick working internal affairs, right? Which, all right, cool. The second thing I want to say, how many fucking times did Murtaugh say, Riggs! Riggs!
Oh, yeah.
Riggs! Sorry.
He likes calling his name. It's soothing to him.
I mean, yeah.
I like the girl because it gave Riggs someone to attach to again. He gave him a little spark in his heart. You know what I mean?
A little smirk, spark in his heart.
Yeah.
I was happy for him.
Nah, it's a nice, and it doesn't kind of feel forced either. Like she doesn't just turn up and then like, you know, she flips him out of the floor, not the other way around. So I suppose, but it felt kind of a natural way. It felt like part of the story rather than they just crowbar at it in, just for the sake of it. And I like the setup of the film as well. That it's like, Murtaugh's like, look, I've got 8 days to retirement. So it's like the film, you know that it's going to be in the short like span of time, which I quite liked.
I like that too. I did like, not to jump ahead to the end, but I did like how they originally thought this was it. Like, this was just going to be the trilogy of movies, right? And it's the end. So if you look at the first part of the first movie, Murtaugh's in the fucking bathroom, in the fucking, you know, bathtub with his family. And then in this movie, the same thing. It's so weird, but like, I feel like, at the time the first movie was made, you know, early 80s, I feel like that was a thing. Like, not saying families were...
I know you're in the bathtub and everything. Right. Naked, I'm coming in.
What's up? I got to take a giant deucey. We only got one bathroom, and it's in your bedroom for some reason.
But then to do it again.
That's never happened. That's just never happened with either of you two, right? If you, I mean, I've got quite a big family, and, like, that's happened to me before. Sorry, go on.
No, I was going to say growing up. I mean, yeah, it's happened before. We were just like, it's going to move. I don't care what you're doing in this bathroom. It's happening now.
No, I know what you mean, though. It's a little bit odd. The script, again, is, I mean, the one line is in this. Like, you know, Rog grabbed the cat. When he like unveils the bomb in the car at the beginning, it's like, Jesus, there's more plastic than sure. And I thought that was great. I just really enjoy it. Like you were saying, Steve, about how, like, there's that realism that you can't get. Like, seeing a guy, I mean, obviously it's not Mel Gibson, but seeing a stunt guy hanging off the back of an armored vehicle as they smash into each other, you can have the best CGI in the world, it doesn't have that impact of, like, you're watching it. Because a few times I was just watching this and I was like, Jesus, because, like, The way they're weaving between cars and you know, stuff like that, there's like a grittiness to it that in the 90s was just par for the course because you had no option but to do it that way. CGI wasn't good enough. It kind of wasn't around as it is now. I kind of think we've gone backwards personally. But
there's that. There's the one part too where like the two armored vehicles are, you know, behind, or the ones behind each other, and he jumps from the vehicle back to the original vehicle, the chase vehicle. The dude like almost slips as he does it, the stuntman. So it looked like realistic. And I was like, oh shit, all right, yeah. They probably went, keep it in, or we can only do it once. Yeah. And that was kind of it. So
yeah, no, exactly. And you know, it's like the original Die Hard where the guy falls, the stunt guy falls down the elevator shaft, lift shaft, and he misses the first where he was meant to grab and fell another level. But oh, yeah, they liked it. So they're like, oh yeah, like we keep that in. And it's like, so that adds another kind of element to it. You know, you being a stunt, you know, stunt guy or woman, like that's a tough job. That's a hard job. Like, you know, in the, I think the Die Hard 4, not to kind of, it's just because it's an example I know, like somebody was quite seriously injured on that one. I think Bruce Willis paid their hospital bills or something like that. Anyway.
Good for that guy.
Yeah. So it's stuff. So there is like a danger in it, as safe as everybody tries to be. And like, you can only take your hat off to that, whether it's a, you know, a shit film or not. Like, if it's a shit film, but there's some decent, you know, real things in it, then I'll say, okay, yeah, sorry, it was bad, but at least it did a few bits for real. And it I don't know. I don't think you can beat it. And again, like the characters, like that woman who's like driving the armored car all the way through it. She's
that
was like,
hilarious.
Yeah.
Showing up with flowers, like, where is he? Oh, he's hiding right here behind the thing. Oh, haha, that's funny. No, he really is. Like, it's fucking great. No, real quick, I want to kind of piggyback on that too. Is I think with CGI, everything is perfect. Like, this guy's got to jump from one building to the next, and it just looks fine, right? But in real life, there's nobody does anything perfect. Let's be real. So you have that infallacy and it looks realistic to you because that person's failing while attempting to do something but succeeding. Where with CGI, it's like, well, just fucking jump. And it's a perfect jump every time, you know? And I think that's where you're losing the realistic like stuff in new movies is you have this explosion or you have this sequence of events that happened. And it's like it's so well done and so effortless and so perfect. Like the John Wick movies, all those fight scenes or all that, whatever. Yeah, they're realistic, but it's just too perfect. Mm-hmm. No one's that fucking good.
Also, I'd like to piggyback off of what you're talking
piggyback
about.
Off the piggyback.
Piggybacking
look at you.
Off that bitch. I love when older black ladies call you baby or sugar.
Yeah.
It makes me feel so warm inside.
Yeah. Amen.
I love it.
It's that
makes me feel safe.
Like, yeah.
Well, it's like that time in films, isn't it? Like if you had this today, it wouldn't be in a film. Like, I'm not going to get into it, but this wouldn't be in a film. Like females hitting on men hitting on women, like, you know, modern days, anybody can hit on anybody. But like back in the 90s, it was like, it was just accepted. Like, you know, the bit where she swerves and like Murtaugh's head ends up in a lamp. She's like, whoa, careful, sugar. One thing at a time. And right. It's like, yes.
We'll do that later.
Yeah. This is brilliant. Oh yeah, where she's like, careful, sugar, and she puts her hand and he's like, keep your hand off my thighs. Like, I just
right
like in the middle of this really serious action scene. I'm like, that's like, I just love the way the 90s, like, we've lost that skill of like having, like, you know, characterization aside in terms of like how good the characters are, you've lost that ability to have, like, you know, men and women like, you know, joshing with each other, flirting with each other in the middle of this big action scene that's also real. You know, and it lends that authenticity that I think CGI is, like you said, Steven and Randy as well, that like nowadays, like how much CGI can you make? Like they must sit there and go, oh, like Roger, have you got that exploding bridge that we made for like Avatar? Like,
God damn it, Roger, you're slacking. You're gonna have to work overtime. You're never gonna see your family.
He's like, yeah, have you got like an exploding tanker? Have we got one in the archive somewhere? Yeah, get the cow. Seven. Yeah, get the cow from Twister. Yeah, we need a cow. And you know, it must be like they must just cherry pick it because you would, like, it's like, you know, it's anyway.
Well, there's a famous scene that's in two Michael Bay movies. He did The Island, and there's a scene in which there's a car going down a freeway, and something happens, and something blows into the front of it, and it looks like it just like, you know, a giant, like, I don't know, cylindrical something hits the front of this car. Well, if you go and watch the first Transformers movie, the same shot is in it, but a transformer hits the car.
Really?
So they reuse stuff all the time.
No.
Oh, that's lame.
See, that's just cheap. Like, if you're spending millions on a film and I'm then paying my money, like, I'm a normal person. I don't earn a lot. If I'm spending, like, you know, I don't know how much it costs over there, but if you're spending like £10/£10 to go and see something, like, you know, you want a decent return on your money, you want another at least done it for that film, like that would annoy me. That I'd be like,
I'm half and half, because, like, you got to think of it this way. CGI or special effects people are already, you know, getting the shit end of the stick and working so hard that it was probably Michael Bay going, we need another shot here. The movie comes out in a week. We got to do something, make it happen. And they went, here you go.
Today's National Cinema Day.
Is it?
Yeah.
Look at us.
Yeah.
Being on a movie podcast.
Cool.
With a National Day of Cinema.
Is that an American thing?
Yeah, apparently.
I don't know. But we're not doing that. We're watching wrestling today.
Wrestling.
Wait. How far away? Oh, no. You're far from. You're in Scotland, right? No.
No.
We went over this before. Where are you exactly again? I can't remember.
I'm about 2 hours from Scotland and about 4 hours from London-ish.
Okay. Well, today, I'm sure you watched wrestling, but in Wembley Stadium, is that how you say it?
Wembley's fine. Yeah, Wembley's fine.
Okay. They're having a huge wrestling event. AEW is, and we're watching that, and so it's going to be kind of a cool thing because it's going to be like the biggest wrestling show of all time. Not WWE and all this other shit. It's of all time.
Is it like wrestling, like what you do in school and college and stuff? Is it proper like that, or is it like
No,
it's the, like, old school, you know, Stone Cold Steve Austin, The Rock wrestling.
All the fake shit. Yeah, fair enough. Yeah, yeah. I've got friends who love it. Not my thing, but hey, to each their own.
Well, yeah. The only thing I'll say to that is when people are like, you know, it's fake, right? Yeah, so is Game of Thrones. Like,
so fun to watch.
Lethal Weapon's fake too, and we're enjoying that.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Well, those people just have no joy in life, do they? It's like when people say about football, like, oh, this millionaire's kicking a ball around. I'm like, oh, fuck off. Like, if you don't understand
fuck
it,
off.
Just yeah. get out of my face type thing. Anyway, back to the film, because you guys want me to rattle through this one.
Rattle.
Get through it quickly. Rattle through it, yeah. Sorry. That's all right. Don't worry. It's fine. I do like in this film as well that Riggs is just part of, like, Murtaugh's family. Like, he walks in on the morning, kisses the wife on the cheek, kisses the daughter on the cheek, and then Murtaugh himself. I was like, yeah, this, and then starts eating dog biscuits.
That was hilarious. I will say, I don't know if we do favorite parts or scenes or whatever, but my favorite is the whole dog, like, aspect of it. At first, he's just eating dog biscuits, and you think it's a joke, like, okay, but then it comes in handy when they meet a dog. And, hey, we're having a bro moment here. No women allowed. Like, get out of here.
It's a man thing.
You're right. Like, that was fucking hilarious. And then when they're leaving, the dog's like, hey, what about me? Yeah. Runs after me.
Stop.
You're right.
What's with the dog? The dog jumps over the bad guy and knocks him to the floor.
Yeah.
And it's like, and the guy's like, kill that dog. He's like, get the crates and kill the dog. I'm like, get in. This is a good film, this. Joe Pesci, thank God, is back as Leo Getz. Get it? Leo Getz you. As an estate agent, or what do you guys call him?
Real estate agent, realtor, yeah.
Yeah, we call him an estate agent.
Same.
I thought that was great, to be fair. And then, like you were saying, Steve, that the bad guy in this, not the best, he's kind of like an ex-cop who... Well, they don't really. He's just trying to get money, isn't he? Apparently.
I mean, they don't really go super deep into it. But again, do you have to? I mean, like, we're not here for that. We're here for Riggs and Murtaugh.
Yeah,
so,
they,
like,
just said he was a dirty cop.
They literally could have just been like, "You see this guy right here? This is the bad guy for the movie." And go. I'm in.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, you know, he's bad from the fact that, like, he encases a guy in concrete in the foundation of a house, which I thought was pretty cool. And when he goes to that other guy, he's like, hey, watch this. This is the good bit. The guy's what? But I do like the fact that throughout the film, you know, that Riggs and Murtaugh, like, neither of them seem happy that the other one's retiring. There's a lot that kind of goes unsaid between them. The bad guys, Lieutenant Jack Travis, not Travin, that's Speed, played by Stuart Wilson. He was also in Hot Fuzz as Dr. Robin Hatcher, the Doctor. And he's in The Rock as General Al Kramer, but he's uncredited in The Rock. It's a hell of a film. And again, like, Joe Pesci, but I'm jumping all over the place. But
You're missing one good credit for that guy. He is the bad guy in Ninja Turtles 3.
Oh, I've not seen any of them. Sorry. It's on my watch list. They're on my watch.
Oh, my God. You have not seen the worst movie ever?
Is it the worst movie ever? Okay.
Ninja Turtles 3. I'll just throw this at you. Albeit they go, the comics do this. They go back in time to feudal Japan. And the bad guy in feudal Japan is a white guy.
Why?
Exactly.
Because it's Hollywood.
They're stupid.
Well, hold on. There are Asians in the movie.
Oh, I hope so. They're in Japan.
But like, he's part of this like pirate group that's like taken over.
The American is?
Yeah. I don't even know if he's American. I think he's British or something. I can't remember. It's been a while.
Of course he is.
Every time I see that guy, I was just like, oh yeah, Ninja Turtles 3, because he had to be in that too.
Yeah, of course he's British. It's the whole Die Hard thing, isn't it? Alan Rickman was in Die Hard, and he was like, Mr. Takagi.
He did so good that he changed the dichotomy of fucking movies, right? He was so good as a bad guy, they went, well, it's got to be British people now.
I mean... Go on.
You're not wrong, because a lot of them now are
British.
That's what
I'm saying. Like, dude, look, I think we've... figured something out here today on Review It Yourself. Bad guys are British because of Alan Rickman.
There you go. I mean, no one's ever made that link before. So we're breaking new ground. Absolutely.
We're doing it.
But it's right, though. I mean, that's the thing. I think it's the whole thing of like, I can talk like this whilst I very slowly slip a knife into your back. It's that kind of, you know, I'll kill you, but I'll be charming about it, which seems to work really well in cinema. Not if you've got an accent like mine. But again, Joe Pesci, the whole scene with the ice hockey.
Dude, okay, I want to say something. I'm going to keep cutting you off because that's what I do in life.
It's just Steve.
I haven't seen this movie, actually. I've seen every other Lethal Weapon. I thought I saw it. I might have seen like a clip or two. I'm a big hockey guy. My favorite team is the Toronto Maple Leafs. And what a fucking wild ride this was. I was like, oh shit, they're going to a hockey game? Sick. The Los Angeles, they're playing the Maple Leafs? What the fuck? And I was here for it.
And then he got shot.
I feel numb. I'm going numb. You're laying on ice, guy.
It's the bit where he says, it's the bit where like Riggs runs off and you hear Leo say to Murtaugh, he's like, oh, make sure they call my mother. And I'm like, yeah. He's so good in this. Because apparently he wasn't in, like, Joe Pesci wasn't meant to come back. The character wasn't meant to come back. They were going to say he's in New York or something. So they actually had the script, and then they literally dropped him in. They were like, we want him in. And I'm like, if they hadn't have had him in this, it's like, what are you doing?
Yeah, he's the perfect comic relief. And you're right, looking back at it, you can tell that he doesn't need to be in any scene at all.
They left him in the hospital for 2 days.
Right. And then trying to sell the house and stuff like that doesn't matter, but it works. It's great. But yeah, take him out and the movie doesn't change other than, oh yeah, I know that guy.
Yeah.
It's a lot less fun without him in it as well. I mean, I love the rant he has when he comes back to the police station as well. And he's like, they fuck you once and then the insurance fucks you again. It's like, oh, all right. Okay. You know, it's America. It's that side of the world where, you know, you pay for all that kind of thing. The whole point of Riggs with the dog biscuits and later on eating an onion, which I thought was great.
He just took a big ass bite of that onion too. Who the fuck?
Hey man, when someone gives you an onion to eat, you either nibble or you just take a giant bite. I'm going all that. Fuck you, man.
It's like the only other time I've seen any of the onions like that is, do you ever see the film Holes, the Disney film?
Oh my God, Holes. Yeah. With Shia LaBeouf.
Yeah. I love LaBeouf. And John Voight as well.
John Voight.
And Sigourney
Angelina
Weaver.
Jolie's dad. Not a lot of people know that for some reason.
Yeah, funny, isn't it? Murtaugh saves Riggs, but he shoots he shoots this young person who's like firing a machine gun at them. Turns out to be a mate of his son Daryl. His son Nick. The lad's called Daryl. The actors like Mel and Glover give it their all. Rennie Russo was great as well.
Yeah, I don't really like Rennie Russo that much, but in this movie I was like, okay, cool.
Who's that?
The woman.
The internal affairs woman. Yeah.
Did they ever find out internally affairing what the problem was, or was it because of the guy
being
the
a
whole
cop.
Thing was yeah he was a cop yeah, so they didn't really explain it that much.
That was it.
So okay. What was going on was the guns that the criminals were using,
right,
which they managed to steal because the ex-cop knew all the information, was right. A big shipment that they seized from all these guns from I don't know gangs and shit, and like these weapons that have been modified or whatever. So they'd seized them, took them to a facility, and then they were ready to destroy them. And then, like, 6 weeks before they were meant to be destroyed or whatever, they got nicked. Stolen.
I like nicked. It's way better because you're talking about nicking.
So they get taken. And then, basically that's what happens. And then internal affairs think that a cop, like an on-duty cop, is involved because they knew the times, they knew the boxes to go for, they left all the shit weapons, they just had the automatics. So they think, right, either someone knows it's an ex-cop or it's a cop because it's just too easy. They knew too much type thing. So that's pretty much the whole thing. Then again, like you were saying earlier, about like the characters in it, like I love the scene where obviously Murtaugh's bereft, he goes off, he doesn't go home, goes and gets pissed on a boat, as you do. And he then, like, Riggs, like, starts shouting at him. He's like, you son of a bitch. And he asks, you selfish bastard, or whatever. He's like, you're retiring us. He's like, what am I supposed to do? Like, I love the fact that the men just show their feelings by having a fight. And then I thought, like, every Lethal Weapon has moments like this, like, great character moments, which, like, really endear you to them.
Yeah. I really like that scene, too, because, like, he gets thrown in the water and then jumps in the water and then they're fighting. And then the cops come up like, hey, what's going on over here? And they're like, don't worry fucking about it. We're dealing with our own shit. Like, we're broing out here.
Don't they say we're dealing with a case of bourbon or something else, something like that? We're halfway through a case of bourbon or something.
That's what he said. Yeah. But it was still funny and I enjoyed it. And I was like, yeah, I could see that happening. Two dudes who are pissed off at each other. And the one and Murtaugh thinks that he's fucking his daughter or whatever. It's pretty funny.
Riggs and Murtaugh in the film as well. Like, I love the fact that every Lethal Weapon has moments like this, like great character moments that really endear you to the men. Like, and going back to what you were saying right at the start, Steve, about action films now and how this will be if it was made now. Like, this kind of characterization is mostly missing. Well, probably altogether missing in like action films now. And they're all the worse for it because, like, yeah, there's all sorts going on, but like, you don't really give a shit. Like, if people make it out, I don't think.
No, I mean, you really don't nowadays. Like, you're just, again, we talk about this a lot with the Netflix style movies now where you're not supposed to be paying attention the whole time. So it really doesn't matter because that way you're looking at your phone or drawing dicks like I'm doing right now and you're not paying attention to anything. But it works because people are fucking on their phone the whole time. So those movies are made for that type of audience. The problem is you don't get the connection to the characters or the story or anything like that because there's not enough attention or detail, you know, paid to it. So.
Speaking of
Jesus
Netflix.
Christ, steal that.
It's pretty good. That's good. It's pretty good.
I now am an owner of a Netflix account.
Oh my God.
I know, I'm an adult.
Look at you.
So weird.
Oh God.
Still on my HBO though.
It's like watching Superbad now. And again with the characterization, like it goes on into like Murtaugh showing his son how to shave. The funeral scene, like when do you ever get that?
In true, very now, true.
Like a funeral scene and like the mom smacks him, obviously.
If his dad didn't say, I want you to go find out who had that gun, I would have been a little mad. Like, how can you be fucking mad at a cop who kills your son? Okay, yeah, that sucks that your son's dead, but he shouldn't have been in a fucking whatever
gang
with a goddamn Uzi shooting at a cop. So
shooting at two
sorry.
Cops.
Shooting at two cops, you're right.
And then hitting one over the head with the board.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Oh, that's what I was going to say, Steve, right? You know, you were saying earlier about how you thought she was going to be the bad guy. I was convinced that Murtaugh's son was going to turn up as one of the gang members.
I thought it was him that hit Riggs over the head.
So did I.
Dude, yeah. I thought at first he was the one that died and he killed his own son. And I was like, this is going to be dark as shit. And then it was like, oh no, it's just some other kid. All right, fuck it, whatever.
Yeah, yeah. That would have been good if they'd had him shoot his own son, like unknowingly.
I don't think they could do that, though. That was a perfect segue. Shoot his own son. Oh! Keep it in.
My dad's watching football.
Do you watch Ted Lasso at all? Probably not, right?
No, I don't think so. Oh, no, you told me. It's on my watch list because you told me how good it was one of the previous chats we had.
Watch it. It's actually, I feel like it's made for English people to watch because it's there's obviously it's in the UK, but there's a lot of good like stuff, and it honestly it blends American and the UK stuff so well together. Mm-hmm. Mental health is what the show's really about, but if you're a football fan, definitely watch it. I mean, get your dad into it. You guys could watch it together.
To be fair, I'd be surprised if he hasn't watched it because he absolutely loves his TV and his films. Probably where I got my love for them from. What was I going to say? I don't know what I was going to say. I love Tough Murtaugh, like towards the end where he's just like, where they get that guy under the tire and then like she reverses and it's like, women drivers. I was like, yes. I love that guy. It's funny. It's just going to be explosive.
You tell him, Dad. You tell him. No, you're absolutely right. Murtaugh in this movie feels a little more puffed up, if that makes sense. Like he's a little more
I don't know what you mean.
He's not like in the background and Riggs is doing everything. Even though, Riggs falls off fucking
bridge.
Oh, you mean
like he's more like in the movie.
Yeah,
now.
Like he's like doing more stuff or he's the one that kills the kid. Yeah. Or he's like, in the end, he's doing a lot. He kills almost everybody at the end.
Yeah, he said fuck him.
Right. And there is the trope in this movie, though, of the bad guys have fucking machine guns and can't hit anything. And then the fucking good guys pop up and go, bah, 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 everybody's dead.
Dead.
But also, what are we here for? You can't get mad at that.
Except the 22-year-old cop on his birthday who's like, I want to come with you. I want to come with you.
As soon as they did the scene in the beginning where he was just like, let me take your fucking vest off. I was like, well, that kid's fucking dead.
Dead.
Yeah. Well, they've got those cop killer bullets, haven't they? And he but you said that the guys, the bad guys in the machine going like fuck, hitting nothing. And then that guy just stands there, the main dude, and he just literally shoots through a fucking oil drum.
Right.
And just like wangs the guy right in the chest. That he's dead. But there you go.
Did she not get shot with the cop killer bullets too?
She did, but she had two vests on.
Okay. Two vests is good, but one's not.
It went through the first layer or the both sides when they shot the vest.
That's what I'm saying.
One time.
Right.
So it would go straight through, dude.
Exactly. And then also you can shoot through a fucking, not a dump truck. What the hell is that? At the end where he's driving it in with the fucking, it's a tractor, but it's
a digger. Yeah.
Those fucking bullets went right through. Riggs, cop killers. Dead.
Dead.
Don't you know how fucking thick the steel is automatically?
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. But it can't go through two layers of fucking bulletproof vest.
Did he say I love you at the end? When they were in the helicopter?
Riggs to Murtaugh? Yeah, they said I love you the whole time in the movie.
Riggs to Washington movie?
I think so, yeah. I think
you did
right.
Too.
Yeah.
Oh.
How nice.
Oh, sweet.
Yeah. It was weird that she wasn't in the end, though.
I know.
But they explained that. They were just like, he's like, why didn't you come to my retirement party? He's like, well, because I know you weren't retiring.
Yeah,
but she's not there. Well, why would she be there too? I know they made like he said something like, "Oh, she's still recovering" or something, but maybe she was not there for filming anymore.
She probably left.
We only got Rene Russo for 2 weeks. Let's make it work.
Yeah, definitely. I did like the climax of basically just burn this whole stair down, which is pretty cool. I also got confused as to what a jelly roll was, but it's basically a Swiss roll. Or a jam roly-poly for people this side of the pond.
It's also a cop slang, wouldn't it be? Like jelly roll?
I don't.
Is it?
Because cops make or eat donuts a lot and they're fat pigs. So it
sounds really good.
They're a jelly roll.
Sounds pretty good.
God damn it, I'm hungry.
It's all right, we're nearly done. Pizza. What? Again.
No, you're good.
The budget of $35 million. Again, like they don't build a lot of the stuff. They're economical. They use like estates that aren't built. Buildings are going to get knocked down anyway to blow them up. The script again. I mean, Riggs fighting with the main like bad guy at the end, who he thinks has killed his woman. He's like, "I'm going to eat your fucking heart." And I was like, "Yeah, this is what."
That was, Dude, that was so like out of left field. I'm gonna eat your fucking heart. I'm like, oh my god, what are we doing here?
Felt like the guy who was like doing the script was like, oh, I wasn't sure if I was writing for Die Hard or Lethal Weapon for a moment. I got a bit confused. The music's really similar.
Die Hard. You mean Braveheart? Like Jesus Christ.
Yeah, best not mention that.
Rip your head off and shit down your throat. That's what I fucking heard. What? Excuse me.
Mindhunter. That sounds like Mindhunter. Mm-hmm. It'll take off your neck, take off your head, and shit down your neck. Good film, a good series. Fucking cancelled it. What are you doing, Netflix?
What are you doing?
Yeah. Okay. So my verdict on it would be like, God, they knew how to make action films in the '90s. I absolutely love this. Like, it's got no right to be this good. Like, you look at like Taken 3, and Lethal Weapon 3, and Die Hard with a Vengeance. It's like, this has no right to be as good as it is. Like, it's just ridiculous. I absolutely loved it. And I was expecting to watch it and be like, oh, because I've been a bit rushed. Like, I need to watch this and I need to watch another film. And I've got two podcasts. I was expecting to watch it being a bit rushed, you know, doing notes on my phone, being a bit like, oh, not really paying attention. But it really held my attention like all the way through. The pacing was good. Didn't lag at any point. So, like, slow down. Yeah, absolutely.
I'll give you that. These movies, we kind of touched on it earlier and you just talked about it there. They hold your attention.
As soon as it started, you were in it.
Yeah, and I don't...
They wasted no time. There was two chase, like, cop scenes.
Right.
Immediately.
Yeah, you're right. Well, like, there was the... So they go in, they blow the building up, and then now they're beat cops again walking around, which is fucking hilarious when they fuck with that guy.
Yeah.
And then, like, obviously, the only thing I don't like about this movie is how much crime happens around Riggs, where he's just like looking around like giant, you know, somebody fucking stealing money or drug deals or whatever. He's always in it. And I don't know if it's crime just follows him or he follows crime.
Four, five things.
Also, they are in California, so you could probably walk every other block and there's something.
There you go. Yeah.
In the 90s, all right, I'm okay with that. It's also a movie, but he sees the armored truck. The guy's like, well, this is weird. You didn't give me the codes or whatever. You know, and you don't look familiar. And then all of a sudden it's like, well, here we go.
No, that reminds me of that same scene where he looks around and he's eating the onion. Like, what? That's the only bit of the film where I was like, this is like really contrived. That all of a sudden, like, Murtaugh's like, I'm going to make you a burger. And I'm like,
I want that burger. What the fuck?
Yeah. Where the fuck is it? Right. And like, it's a good job that maybe this is why they paired these two guys up. Maybe we've realized that the point of these, that it's not the good friends that they care about each other and all that shit. It's the fact that Murtaugh sees fuck all and Rick sees everything. Like that lieutenant, that captain guy's like, yeah, we're going to put these two guys together because Murtaugh, he's clueless. Like he won't see. Honestly, couldn't have a piss up in a brewery. But Riggs, every time he walks around the corner, someone's shooting at him with an Uzi. So if you pair these guys up, should be all right in the end.
It is funny because you're right. Murtaugh is flipping burgers, having the time of his life, and Riggs is just like, I smell crime.
Yeah. Even the burger guy notices.
Yeah.
The burger guy's like looking at Riggs like, what's going on? Even he gets suspicious.
Right.
And it's just like, oh, come on.
It's got to roll it out a little bit.
Well, shit, even before that, when he tries to take down whatever and his daughter's like an actress and gets fired.
Yeah.
I completely forgot about that. What's with movies in the 90s and every director is Steven Spielberg?
Just an asshole?
Well, no, they have the glasses, the long hair, the fucking weird, like everybody, because there was even like Scary Movie did it. There's a couple other movies where like every director that is like being made fun of or on a movie set is just Steven Spielberg.
Maybe they're making fun of Steven Spielberg.
Well, I think so.
Like all of them.
Made fun of himself. He was in Austin Powers. Was it Goldmember at the end of it where it's like Tom Cruise plays Austin Powers right at the end?
Oh, no, it's the beginning. It's the beginning.
It's the beginning. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, where they're going through and it's like a movie trailer for the movie of Austin Powers. Yeah, you're right. God damn, I love Austin Powers.
Do you know how painful that start is with Tom Cruise being like, yeah, baby.
Yeah,
baby. It's like, oh, it's like nails on a fucking chalkboard. It's awful.
It's supposed to be, though. And then fucking Danny DeVito is Mini-Me. It's a Mini-Me. I know. And then he's shooting in the air. It's fucking hilarious.
Yeah, it's pretty good. But my last point on this is, as you were saying earlier, like this realism, I think that's one of the biggest reasons why like the Mission Impossible films appear to get better and better. And, you know, Top Gun Maverick, which has no right to do, was, you know, be as good as it was, is because it's real, and I don't know when the it probably won't drop. The penny's never going to drop for them because they don't care. But you do wonder when the penny will drop, because you see like cinema from around the world, like Korea, other parts of Asia, Europe. You know, you've got kind of like Luc Besson with kind of his French films and stuff. Like other parts of the world are making films for real because they've got no alternative. They don't have the money for special effects that are good enough. And do you not realize, like, well, aside from what's going on over there at the minute, but do you not realize, like, why these are doing so well? Because they're, like, they're doing it properly. But anyway, do you guys have any last thoughts on the film or verdicts on it before we wrap this up so you guys can crack on with it?
One of my favorite third movies.
Okay.
Like we were talking about earlier, besides Shrek. Shrek 3, always going to be the best one, but
God damn it,
it's a good one. And Fast and Furious 3. Wait, that was Tokyo Drift. That one sucked.
But is Tokyo Drift, though, not like canon? I know they brought it back to being canon, but I'm saying if you're looking at Fast and Furious, would that be the third movie? Because Dom's not in it. The family's not in it.
It's technically not.
That's like a spinoff.
But it is.
No, that's a spinoff.
But they connect.
Yeah, but it's not the third movie in the installment.
It's like, kind of like docking. They all connect.
Oh, Jesus. Do we need to draw that?
No. I like this movie. I think I can't wait to watch the next one and the next one after that.
Well, five is in development.
Oh, okay.
But it's been in development for a while. Again, this maybe was originally always going to be a trilogy.
Yeah.
And then Rush Hour happened and they went, you know what? We can do this better. And Chris Rock's in 4, and it's...
Is he?
Oh, yeah. Dude, 4 is my favorite Lethal Weapon movie, so...
Oh, wow, really? Yeah. Oh, I can't wait. What's that, then?
Yeah. It's a little different, because they took away the, like, 80s cheese, and they replaced it with, like, the 90s fresh, if that makes sense.
Okay.
So, it's... Jet Li's in it. Okay.
Goddamn.
I'm gonna say this. It feels like a fully-fledged movie, like, 90s blockbuster style movie where they went all out and they said, fuck it, let's do this right.
Cool.
And they did. For me, though, Lethal Weapon 3, I, again, never saw it. So coming in fresh on this, like we talked about, started it, kept my attention the entire way. Mm-hmm. Was it a little flimsy with, you know, the villain and stuff? Yeah. Did we talk about how it doesn't fucking matter? Yes. Does it matter? No. It's all about Riggs and Murtaugh. And I'm here for it, and it works. It clearly, the duo, they made 4 movies, right? People loved it. Mel Gibson, I mean, fucking stratosphere after this. Danny Glover didn't do really much more than the Lethal Weapon movies and some other stuff that wasn't, you know, too big. So I feel like without Riggs, he's nothing. Maybe that's why he says his name so much. I don't know. I mean, this movie, not much really happens when you think about it. You know what I mean? Like, but it flows well. It does what it needs to do. Was it a good send-off if this was the last movie ever of Lethal Weapon? I don't think so. I thought the ending of the movie where they're, like, driving away was a little, like, anticlimactic. I feel like it could have been a little better or a little more, like...
Did you stay for the end of the sunset. Credits?
Wait, was there something after
there's a scene, yeah. So there's a scene where so they're talking at the end and then the credits roll and then they're still talking and then they get a call over the police band PB saying, oh, there's a 1040 code whatever at this address, and it's the same scenario as the beginning where there's a bomb and they turn up to it and it's another massive building that was getting demolished. And they turn up and there's a cop car and they pull up right next to the white, like the tape. And he's like, don't go in there. No, I'm going to go in there. Don't go in there. Like the bomb squad's on the way. And then as they like pull up, the whole building explodes and collapses. And then you hear Murtaugh. He's like, they're not going to believe. They're going to think we did this. Oh, it's great. Yeah. So it's.
I didn't see that. Oh, shit. Yeah, it's funny because I fast forwarded a little bit to see if there's anything there. And then the credits were still playing.
No,
I was like,
last thing.
So like after the credits.
Oh,
yeah. So they did Marvel before Marvel.
Yeah.
Look at this.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, whatever. Yeah. I take back what I said then. That.
Yeah. This will change it. I'll watch it. We can watch it after. Yeah.
So are we doing like a score out of? Well, we don't do scores here. I can't remember what we do.
I give it a solid 8 though.
Gives an 8. I'm gonna give it. Yeah. We're gonna 8. 7.75, 8. Yeah. This movie. There's something to be said about a movie that doesn't allow you to pick your phone up because you're you're in it. You know what I mean? Like, I don't think I've watched a newer movie. So not in theaters.
Disgusting.
Why did you drink it?
What the hell have you drank? Why is it?
I'm finishing it.
Okay. I don't think I've watched a new movie at home where I didn't pick my phone up during, without it being someone texting me, right?
Yeah.
I've always, like, there's.
You just want to scroll because it's not keeping your interest.
Right.
Yeah.
This movie, I was like, let's go.
I'm in it.
Yeah. No, that's good. Would you go? You're out there, Randy. You're struggling.
Yeah, no, that was disgusting.
What the hell was it? What have you drank?
It's just water.
Deep water. It says, hold on.
Deep well water?
It says deep well water. Who the
I've had it before and it
wants
was good.
To drink water out of a well in a can?
I had it before and it was good.
Who's pissed in it?
I did.
Monster?
I pissed in it. No, this isn't they Monster. Pissed in oh, it is Monster. It's a Monster water. It's a tour water. From Vans Warped Tour.
Monster water? Oh, Jesus Christ. What kind
of... Pure clean water is the elixir of life. Put
We're
in
not
the can.
Really okay. We got things to do. I got to leave soon.
What demonic hell is in that can? But no, yeah. Would you guys like to tell everybody, well, they should know already, but where you're from and what your whole shameless plug. Do the plug and then...
Shameless plug. The Decision Reel. First and foremost, thanks again, Sean, for having us on. Always a pleasure to be on your show.
Always.
If anybody's listening still and hasn't subscribed or liked or commented or anything on Sean's shit, fucking do it. Support this man. He's out here doing his best, doing 17 podcasts a day. This man is living the life that everybody wants to in the podcast scene. Us, on the other hand, we're trying. We're out here grinding it as well. At The Decision Reel on all your social medias, the Twitter, the Facebooks, the Instagrams. We're on TikTok, but we barely put shit on there. But whatever, find your videos. We're on YouTube as well, at The Decision Reel. Oh, my God, look at that. It's the same thing. We're out there doing video podcasts as well as a regular podcast, which you can find wherever. We have merch available, too. You can buy T-shirts, hats, stickers, fucking Spanx, whatever we got on there. You can find it on our website. Leggings, sure. www.thedecisionreel.com. You can find us there in all of our shit. We try and have fun. We try and do what we can with movie reviews. We look at new movies, old movies, every movie in between. And Randy likes to say nothing because it's Randy. I don't know. I went into a. I covered everything. I'm sorry.
You did.
I'm used to.
I didn't know what else to say.
So. Real.
Now that I'm not here anymore,
so
you
Randy,
do everything.
Yeah. So Randy. Decided to take a leave of absence from the show for an indefinite period with life. But he comes on for special episodes. So we did have one where him and his girlfriend came on. We did
Jumanji.
The new Jumanji.
Jumanji. The next
we
level.
Did that, yeah, with The Rock in the forest. Oh, my God, how many movies has The Rock been in a forest? But we did that. It was a good time. Randy will come back for we do the How Have You Not Seen This series. And whenever he feels like showing up in my basement, we do things here. So if anybody enjoys that, come and listen to us or watch us on the YouTubes. That's all I fucking got.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah. What else we can? But, no, but thank you very much for your time, guys. I really do appreciate it. And I cannot wait to do Lethal Weapon 4 because I've never seen it.
Oh,
and
yeah,
if it keeps up even half the standard of the other ones, then it's going to be a hell of a good time. So,
oh, yeah.
Thank you for your time. And thank you to everybody for listening. That's your lot. Cheers, guys. Thank you.
Hey, thank you.
Bye.
Get it in, get it on, and enjoy the vlog.
Welcome to Film Vloggers.
Oh, harder, Daddy.
The only film review podcast, thankfully, that poses the question, does watching this film feel like flogging a dead horse?
There he is, beating that dead horse!
Introducing your hosts. First up, her Irish potty mouth turns the air a whole new shade of blue. It's Fiona. Say hello, Fiona.
And why the f*** is Dan Macca's doing our intro?
I want to be gold!
That's great. It's great. She's adorable. And your second host needs no introduction. The man, the myth, the legend. Like, I said I'd do this. I said I'd do this for you. I'm not reading this. It's the guy who waffles too much. It's Ben.
Cooey!
I'm making waffles.
So what are you waiting for? Grab your whip, mount your dead horse, and let's get on with the vlog, shall we?